Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Nichols, a.k.a. Daniel Ward from Cosplay Connect University, GuysNation.com, and the Love Your Cosplay Body Facebook page. And we have another great episode of Geeks Unfiltered, and I have a I don't know how many berries I should put on this because I don't want her to get an ego, and then I can never do this again. But I have a very special guest who was a little hesitant to do this podcast, but we were able to convince her with a lot of num-nums and good things of that nature, and I'm probably going to butcher the name horribly, but I'm going to try it. Kayden Vera?
Vieira. Yeah.
I'm going to call you CVC.
Okay.
That will make it easy for me. I won't have to butcher anything. The things don't get messed up. So,
that works for me. We're good.
Here you go. See, for all you other podcast hosts out there, make your guests happy. Things will go by last mover, trust me. Welcome to Geeks Unfiltered. We're glad to finally have you on the podcast.
Thank you. It'll be fun.
Yes. If anybody knows, if you've listened to any of the other ones, I think the shortest one I've done was like 1:50. Because we end up going on tangents, and then they become like 2 hours, 3 hours. It's madness what we do on this show. But for those who may not be familiar with CVC, you can go check CosplayConnectUniversity.com, and we have her interview up. It was a great interview. And it actually, one of my favorite pictures are featured in the interview, and that's of you with the Domo.
Avatar is fun.
I'm teaching my kids at the school I work at how to draw domos.
Yes, everyone should know how to draw a domo. Domo's fantastic. I have so many domos. I have my little panda domo on my desk. Keeps me company.
Domos rock. I have a kid where we're trying to design a paper domo, and we're going to give it a Thor helmet and hammer.
Oh my god, that's going to be so awesome.
I'm trying to get my kids into cosplay early.
Yes, because it's awesome.
It is. It is the universal language of not just geeks, but everybody. Everybody has dressed up, so everybody should love cosplay.
Yes.
And speaking about cosplay, do you mind giving the listeners who may now, because don't go look at the written interview just yet, because you're listening to the show. Listen to the show first, and then you can go look at the interview. But just in case those who get too lazy don't go look at the interview, can you give us a brief rundown about what got you into cosplay?
Sure. I know I don't like reading either, so that's cool. I'm a nerd, and I remember when I was little, I always thought it was cool that people would dress up as fictional characters they liked from video games or anime or comic books. But I mostly just knew about it for Halloween costumes. And then it wasn't until, I guess, about college that I discovered this whole convention world. And I went to my first one when I came home from college and saw people dressing up and was like, oh my god, you can do this all the time and not just during Halloween. And then that was kind of it. Then it began.
It's very addictive.
It is. I think I made like a dozen the first year I did it, because I didn't even, I mean, it's not like I made a dozen like super hardcore ones because it's my first year, but I just didn't even realize it, and I went through at the end of the year and was like putting together a little collage, and I was like, oh, I did this one, and when I was done, I had so many pictures, I was like, I need to slow down.
Yes, I've,
bad.
I've been watching my feed lately, and Yaya and Stella and a bunch of others have been doing the picture with their cosplay costs.
Oh, the breakdown. Yeah, I've seen those.
It's not like these are simple. Those are really like complex, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, and I know that's been going kind of viral right now, is the whole cosplay breakdown. And it's like, I spent like $800 on this costume. And yeah, some people do that, and that's fantastic and amazing. But I just also want to say it is possible to cosplay on the cheaper side, because I know I do, because I work three jobs, but so I have some excess money, but a lot of that goes towards a new house payment and a new car payment, and then I've got three dogs, so, you know, when it's all said and done, I have lots of jobs, but I don't end up with a lot of, like, my nerd funds, so I try to cut down the cheaper side, so it is possible. So for the people who see those and are like, oh my god, I can't afford to cosplay. You can. There's ways. Just maybe not like, you know, a Gundam or some shit like that.
No.
Cardboard route, but it's possible.
For those who may be interested on the cheaper ways of cosplaying, there's an actual group that I ran into when I went to the Rhode Island Comic Con, and they're called Cosplay on a Budget. Mm-hmm. Google them. It's fun. Like, I just started getting back seriously into cosplay. Because I cosplayed during Halloween, but I never really cosplayed outside of that, so I did, Finn from Adventure Time, but I did, the more Zombie Slayer Finn, so, you know, I got my little beanie gun, and I got my jeans, and my boots, and my Finn hat, my backpack, with a wooden sword, I call it Finn from High School of the Dead, and all I did was, I got some regular jeans, got some boots, and I got in a Finn hat, cost me maybe $15. But then I went to a store and got a blue shirt. And there you go. I have a little Jake doll that costed me another 10. So, boom. So it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. Awesome. I mean, if you want to go for the more expensive ones, go for it. But just, you know, budget.
Yes.
Greatly, greatly budget.
Which is, I'm glad. See, this is perfect because you segue me into my next topic.
Yes.
Did you ever think, before you got into cosplay, that you would be able to coupon and bargain hunt and know material, like, I can't sew normal string in the spandex, and did you know that you would become this crafting genius, figuring out workarounds and things of that nature? Did you realize how much, you know, material knowledge you would gain just by, you know, starting to make cosplays?
I had no idea, because for me, I was just like, this, look at this picture. Oh, cool. I can just, sew this stuff together and it'll be fine. And I greatly realized the importance of getting the correct needles and threads. And sometimes you have to hand sew stuff. And sometimes you just want to cry and throw your sewing machine out the window. But it's just you gain a lot of knowledge about not even just sewing, but working with Warbla or any other thermoplastic material, painting, which for me, painting, I haven't had a chance to do a lot of it with my cosplays yet, but I'm hoping to next year, because I was always into art before cosplay, so I'm really excited to try and do some stuff where I can paint, because I actually already know how to do that, so I won't have to learn something. But, I mean, it's just one thing I think people don't always realize is cosplay covers this gamut of skills depending on what route you go. And you can learn so much. And nowadays, the cosplay has become essentially like this huge phenomenon. There's so many available things online to just Google and be like, how do I do this? And you'll find like 8 different tutorials for it, which is fantastic. Thank God people already did that. Cause otherwise, I don't know what I would do. I think everything would be super glue and duct tape.
I noticed that. When I meet people, I go, well, how did you do this? And then they're like explaining to me like this crazy process of working with Ebola and, you know, they're doing this and, you know, so we didn't have that. So then I went and I got some light bright stuff and I polymered, smeared that onto this. And I'm like, yeah.
Right, and some people can think like that. Like, I have, one of the girls I know, we kind of joke and call her, the MacGyver of cosplay. It's Glitzy Geek Girl. And she's like, we'll ask her, oh, how did you do this? And she's like, oh, it's just foam, and then I did this, this, and this to it. And when she explains it, it's like, that's so obvious. Why didn't I think of that?
That's not what I did.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, of course that's what you did. But, I know me personally, I don't have that, this is how I can do it. I need to actually see it done and learn from that 90% of the time.
Now, I tell people, when I watch cosplayers like interact with each other, especially when they're talking about their crafting and stuff, it's like, right. I can feel like I have protection. Because a lot of people know, I have to preface it by saying this. Cosplay is based off fan service. And if you watch fan service in like anime or even regular comic books, the clothing that they have women wear in no reality is functional.
Clothing. We use that term loosely.
Yeah, very loosely. I would say patches of cloth would probably be the best way. So like one of the big things I've been learning is, I didn't know that you can use the dancing tights.
Oh.
To give off the illusion.
Yeah. Lifesavers.
I'm like, wow. And then I knew about the double-sided stick tape.
Yes. I've never done a costume that requires that because I choose not to do the revealing costumes for my own reasons. Nothing it says to do. Kudos to being comfortable with your body. But I will say the dance tights because I danced all through high school and some of college. So I knew the dance tights trick. I was like, yes, I feel not so naked. Like my Jubilee, because, they're the booty shorts, because it's Jubes.
And I'm surprised you did that variation of Jubilee, too. I want to give you a hats off for that, because I don't really see that one. I see the other one with the jean shorts and the
like, neon yellow and the hot pink tank top, which I was planning on doing the Kotobukiya version that they put out, but I never did. Maybe once I get my butt into shape, I'll do that one. But the one I did, actually, my friend, Evie, I think her name is Evie Gray. She designed the costume for that. And it was part of a 20 X-Men group that we did at Comic-Con in May, Dallas Comic-Con in May this past year. And that was intense and insane, but it turned out awesome. So I gotta give props to her for putting all the designs together for those. I just sewed it.
Hey, listen, that's a skill. Okay, people don't realize how hard. So my mother does a lot of sewing and knitting and crocheting. So when I go down to her basement, it looks just like some weird, sadistic, puppeteering, clothing making area where you see the old ancient sewing machine and 5 million patterns hanging all over the place. It was like, this is when you start, having meetings for people. We need to get you out of Michael's and Joann's and any other fabric store that you feel like you just can't go by without spending $100 or $200.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's tough. And then it's like, there's a sale, and then you get all exciting because there's a sale, and then you realize that you spent way more than you should have, but you justify it because you actually saved a bunch of money.
Yes.
It's bad. It gets really bad, especially when they're like, all patterns, $2 for $1. Then you buy 80 gajillion patterns that you're probably never going to use, but you have them just in case.
It's funny because it's like, but the discount you saved, you use up because you bought so much of it.
It doesn't matter because you saved money. It doesn't matter that you spent probably twice what you would have had there not been a sale because you saved all that money.
That is the logic. That is the logic.
I do not recommend it for those who are not already employing that logic.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you find yourself utilizing some of the pieces from other cosplays in order to complete, maybe a new cosplay here and there,
I will be doing that. I hadn't yet because the cosplays I'd done for the most part were completely different characters and designs, so I couldn't use them. But on that same note, I also had stuff from home that I could use for it, like when I did Emma Frost, because I wasn't going to do the thong-wearing Emma Frost. So I was like, we're going to do classy Emma Frost with some pants, especially since I wore it in October. So I was like, I need me some warmth.
Now, I will give you credit, because those are two words that we won't normally hear together, classy and then with Emma Frost. It usually doesn't come across that way, so I commend you for being brave enough to do that.
I was like, we're going to do classy Emma Frost. So I had white dress pants because I have, the generic black, white, gray slacks for work. So I was like, all right, I got white dress pants. bought some fabric for the cape, ordered a white corset because I am not going to try and make my own corset, and that was that. So, I mean, if you have, and like my X-23, which was my first one, which is also why a lot of it was stuff I already had, like I had black yoga pants, called that good enough, you know, got a black and white striped tank top. So, I mean, there's times where I've used clothing that I already owned for the character because it was close enough. But I haven't gotten to the point where I've reused, like, say, Jubilee's jacket for another character or something like that. But I'm sure as I start building things, I will start kind of repurposing them in that direction. So, we'll see.
Now, you've done a lot of great cosplays. One of my favorite ones, I will say this, is the Superman picture.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's so cool. It's one of those, I call it low impact cosplay. Because it's not like you're in a full Superman costume, but you're giving off that implied.
Yeah. It's very much a closet cosplay. It was very closet cosplay. It's stuff I all already had, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to do me some Clark Kent gender bending here, because it's fun.
Now, in saying that, how do you go about picking the cosplays that you do? Do you have, okay, this is a set list I want to get out the way, or does someone suggest something to you, or you see something and it inspires you to do a cosplay? What's the process?
It's kind of changed over the couple years. At the beginning, it was I wanted to find a character that I looked close enough to that I wouldn't have to worry about a wig or contacts, because I wasn't comfortable with that. And I wanted to do a character that I knew enough about and admired. And so that's how I chose X-23, because she's badass. And she wasn't very well known, and I kind of like to do the characters that don't get a lot of spotlight. Minus Emma Frost, that was kind of a little blip on the radar there. But yeah, so that was the beginning. And then as I started doing it more, it was more of a, I want to do like things that would sort of challenge me and add a new skill on. Like I did X-23, then I did River Tam, so I would make a dress. And I tried actually making the sword and axe myself and failed miserably. So I ended up commissioning those because it just was not working out. So, I mean, that's how I started. And then as I started doing it and kind of, gathering the knowledge and the confidence to make my own things and then discovering the wonderful world of wigs and colored contacts, it became more of a watching a TV show or reading a comic book or playing a game and going, that character looks badass, and I love them. I'm going to add that to the list. And now my list is absurdly long. So, for the most part, I do try to pick, stronger characters, like fighters and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of it. And obviously there's an aesthetic appeal to them too. I like the costume, or I like the weapons or whatnot, or the colors.
Now, from when you started cosplay to where you're at now, have you noticed any changes or any differences that has happened?
As far as the community or
community techniques?
Okay. I will say when I first started a couple years ago, at least in North Texas where I'm at, it was a fairly small little group of people, and I mean there were a lot of us, but it was fairly small. The whole cause famous idea hadn't quite hit yet, aside from Yaya Han and Jessica Negri, who have been blowing up the internet for years now.
Yes.
But it wasn't quite there. It was still very much a for fun kind of thing. You had the range of skills from, thrift shopping cosplays to the people who made amazing builds. Over the years to today, I will say, at least within our community, obviously the people that I know, their skills have become better, and because, time, practice, whatever. But then there's also kind of this little added in sort of niche click people. You have the people everyone does cosplay because they want to be noticed to an extent. Because why else do you go and dress up as this random character in a crowd of people?
Agreed.
I mean, you want to be noticed. You want people to go, hey, you're so-and-so. That's cool. But then you kind of have the difference of people dressing up to be noticed and to meet other friends with the same interests and likes and try to make a little network of friends around that. And then you have the people who are doing it more as a profession and trying to build up their skill set and networking in order to make a profit. So there has been a shift that I've noticed in that. I'm not saying there's anything against people who do that. If you have the time and the skills to do it, go for it. But there is, not always, but sometimes there is a divide with, like, the for fun, the professional, the competitive. Like, there's kind of this, like, unsaid difference between the attitudes that are approached by the cosplays, by the cosplayers to choose a costume and then what they put into it, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. It's almost like the normal kids and then there's the cool kids table.
It's almost like that. Like, I don't like to say that just because I feel like I'm calling one of the groups lesser than the other, but I mean, it's, you know, you've got the people who are going for it for accuracy and quality and this, that, and the other, and then you have the ones who are going it just for, like, for fun and to just be recognizable as the character.
Yes, and I mean, it happens with everything. You have the kids who are, you know, good at drawing, and then you have the kids who are just, like, insanely amazing at drawing. So they tend to kind of stay with their kind. It's almost like an unconscious, you know, we just gravitate towards. Oh, we like you because you're good, but I want to stay with them because they do kind of what I do.
Yeah, it's kind of like you want to go to someone that you see is on your level, either whether that be by skill level or by mentality or both. So, I mean, there is kind of this growth that is there, but, I mean, I also think that came with the fact that the cosplay world has, like, exploded in people.
Yes.
Because when it's a small group, you know, everyone's like, yeah, cool, whatever. But then as it gets bigger with anything, as you get more things, you start getting more of a divide because that's happened. that's how it works. That's sociology right there.
It's as simple as watching, you know, your basic TV shows. You can see cosplay and geek influences over all these shows. There are shows based around geeks now. They're based around, you know, like the Big Bang.
Oh my goodness, Big Bang Theory.
Before the Big Bang and comic book men.
No one gave a crap
about going to a comic book store or making sure you have this edition toy or getting this costume right. No one cared about that. And then Big Bang hit and blew up. Comic Men hit and blew up. And it's now you see, like, big major stars talking about, well, I would love to play a superhero. Because they see the money there.
Yeah, it's marketable. I mean, it is now. I mean, there's this huge, I kind of feel like, you know, the older superhero movies like Fantastic Four and stuff, if they had come out today, I feel like a lot more could have been done with it. But they came out kind of in that, like, it was just nerds sort of era. And now it's cool. Like, Avengers are badass. It's like, have you seen the Avengers movie? And you can ask that to all your coworkers, not just the ones with, like, Star Wars and Marvel stuff on their desk.
Everybody watches, right? I mean, even the TV shows like Gotham and Flash.
Exactly. Like, it's become more socially acceptable to be a nerd, which I know that's kind of caused some drama because you have that whole fake geek guy, and I think that's stupid, but you know.
You don't have to read my expression now. what do you think? It makes no sense, but there are a group of people who, whether they cosplay because they know it's going to get them attention to further a modeling career, or a person who, you know, maybe doesn't really do geek style crafting, but will do it because it get them more customers. Well, how do you? I mean,
I feel like there's kind of, I have mixed feelings on that. So the people who cosplay or make geek things to turn a profit, for one thing, you know, that's just good business. I mean, you look and see where the audience is and you go. But then my issue is when they portray themselves as, oh, I've been a nerd since I was 3 years old and this, that, and the other, and they weren't. That's when it bothers me. Now, if they come and they're like, hey, this stuff's cool, I want to be a part of it, that's great. Like, that's awesome and fine, because, I mean, a lot of people seem to be upset about the whole introduction of nerd culture into, like, the mainstream population. But I think it's good, because, one, that way our, like, culture doesn't die, and we're getting more awesome stuff from it as far as collectibles and things. So, I mean, and that's what it is. And, I mean, it's kind of like sports, too. I mean, you got your fair weather fans in sports. So, I mean, it's a similar phenomenon. You've got essentially fair weather nerd people. And some of them may stay on even after the nerd hype dies. And kudos to them. And some of them may not. But I don't think it's anything to get, you know, all up in arms about.
And I'm glad you were saying, see, you're being a perfect guest, because you're making my segues a lot easier for me now, which is cool, because you just mentioned about when the nerd culture eventually, you know, when the fad fades out, and Yaya had an interesting post about the golden age of cosplay, and my, not a good friend, but a good guy that I know by the name of Johnny Ruckus added in his two cents about the whole thing. And so what do you think about the supposed death of the golden age of cosplay, and what kind of attributed to that coming about?
I think, because when we talk golden age, we're talking about sort of like the, when it was a small-knit community full of people teaching and learning sort of thing, right?
Yes.
So obvious, I mean, it is obvious that that is kind of fading as it's become like the trend to market yourself in cosplay. I mean, I do it too. I sell prints. I've started expanding into cosplay photography as well, because I have a photography business on the side. So I mean, there, it's kind of like what I said earlier, there's a business, you go to it. And so it makes sense that all of a sudden you kind of see less of the teacher-student thing and more of the professional and casual cosplayer thing. And because of that, it's, you know, sort of when you label someone as a professional cosplayer, they become less approachable as when it's just, this person's been doing it for a long time and they're more of a teacher. It's more of a, cool, I can go up to you and we can just talk shop and you can teach me your ways. But then when you put professional on it, it's kind of like, now you're at this cloud that I'm scared to touch. And I think that kind of caused a divide and sort of led to the, like, what, I guess, end of the golden cosplay age or whatnot.
So ominous.
Yeah, it's just like, it sounds so terrible. But I mean, at the same time, there are still places for you to go and to learn things. And also, a lot of these people, you know, whether or not they label themselves as a professional cosplayer or not, a lot of them are willing to, you know, help you learn, or at least send you in a direction to learn. Like, a lot of them still post work-in-progress photos. I know Yaya does a lot. A lot of them will still reply to your message. It may take a while, depending on
how
the person.
Busy they are,
yeah, but I mean, because, I mean, I've messaged Animia, I've messaged Yaya, I've tweeted Negri, and I've gotten replies from all of them. Not every single time, but I've gotten replies from them. So, I mean, they are there, and they're people too, and they're looking. And I feel like once people hit that, like, I don't know what the magic number is now for cosplay page likes, where it's like they're godly. But once they start getting, like, that cosplay guest title or whatever for conventions, it seems like people are scared to approach them, and it's almost like those people are caught, like, attributing to the divide as well, not just the people marketing themselves.
Well, I tell people, cosplay to me reminds me a lot of rock and roll. When it first came out, it was very fresh, it was in your face, very independent. But just like with everything, as much as you love your cosplay, the more you love your cosplay, you wear it on your shoulder. A lot of people notice it, they want to know what it is. Next thing you know, they become part of it. All of a sudden, it becomes this big thing. Corporations are going to notice it. Yep. So, just like with rock, now rock has become more, I like to call it, like, you know, formula. You know, this is what we want. This is how you make money, boom. Mm-hmm. But like you said, there are still that small community that's really authentic. Mm-hmm. And I can't blame, like a lot of people say, well, you know, Yaya made it so popular that it became like a double-edged sword. You want her to be appreciated for all the hard work that she puts in.
But then
the more popular she gets, the more it becomes like, it becomes diluted a little bit, because now they like Yaya and like Yaya, Jessica, a lot of them are at a point where if they wanted to just cosplay just for the love of it, they could, but where they're at, it wouldn't be a feasible move.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of one of those, because, I mean, they do amazing jobs and they've done amazing things for the cosplay community, so you want them to be rewarded for that in some aspect. And it's just kind of one of those unavoidable things. I mean, money's going to happen. It's like you said, corporations will see a profitable place and they'll go for it. Cosplayers will see a way to, maybe I can make a little money on the side, and then they just happen to make a ton of money on the side.
I mean, be honest, if someone came to you and said, okay, we're going to pay you, you know, this amount of money to just dress up as one of our characters and go to different conventions, you're not going to say no.
Exactly.
Especially
like,
if you need money.
Right? Like, I mean, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, your Jubilee was awesome, come to our convention as a guest, we'll pay for your pass and your hotel, I'd be like, all right, cool, I will see you then. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those, put yourself in that position, would you really say no?
I mean, we always said we always want to get paid for what we love doing.
Exactly. And they happen to be one of those lucky few who are getting paid to do what they love.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that should be celebrated, and I think that should be something that you look to aspire towards. Like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. Maybe not necessarily in cosplay, because that market's incredibly saturated now. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yes. And, you know, I tell people, when you, like, even if you go to Facebook and you just type in cosplay,
it's insane.
The list. Now, I'm trying to find people to interview for the show. When I first started Cosplay Connect University, it was because I had too many cosplay interviews for the other side I worked for, Guys Nation. So I said, I'm going to start a site and just base it on cosplay. That way I don't flood this one site and turn it into Cosplay Nation when it's not really Cosplay Nation.
Okay.
So I ended up having interviews stacked to 2015 for both sites, and this was in like August. This was right, you know, this was in August, and I got everything going into like January 2015, and that was even before I decided to do podcasts. And I'm like, Jesus, there is tons. Yeah,
it has exploded. Just, I don't even know. I mean, even if you look up like cosplay groups, because when I first started cosplaying, I was like, I'm going to look up some Facebook groups to find some people to get some advice, because at the time I didn't know anyone. And then I joined the group North Texas Cosplay, and at the time I think there were maybe 100 to 200 people in it, and now there's like 1,200 people in it.
That's how big cosplay.
I mean, that's just a tiny little microcosm of the cosplay world. Like, that's just our little North Texas hub.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that essentially, 10 times the amount of people in 1 to 2 years. So, I mean, it's like with anything, if you're gonna grow that big, yeah, people are gonna market it. And yeah, it's gonna become less of this small little community. It's like go look at a small town. You still have that small town neighborly feel. Go look at a big city. No. I mean, this is the same thing, and I don't know. I see people getting all upset about it, and I'm just kind of like, look at other things in life that you can parallel to that.
Yeah.
Did you really not see this coming?
No. Yeah, I mean, there was no way cosplay could stay on a small scale. It would just, it would be virtually impossible for something that now has dictated a lot of stuff. I tell people,
right,
if it wasn't for cosplay, we wouldn't see female leads in superhero movies.
No, not near. They would still be in that supporting role for sure. Because, I mean, you had some strong female TV shows and movies, but they were definitely in the few. I mean, you had Xena, you had Wonder Woman, you had all that, but compared to Batman and Superman and Spider-Man, I mean, it was very few.
Yeah.
Now you definitely see a lot more opportunities for women in lead roles like that, which is awesome.
Of course, Marvel and DC has made it their point to let you know that. I mean, I tell people, Catwoman with Halle Berry, and I hate to bring it up. The Catwoman with Halle Berry just damaged, like, 1.5 female comic book characters. That and Elektra. I really don't like Elektra. It was a good movie.
I feel bad for that movie. I kind of enjoyed it to a small extent.
But those two movies set back female comic book characters. And it took cosplay and Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow to make them say, okay, we think we can sell a movie based on a female comic book character, or we can make female characters in a comic book a little bit, you know, have them give a little bit more of the light. Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, now they're doing Captain Marvel, they're doing Wonder Woman.
It's exploding now, which is awesome, because that's one thing when I talk to some people that aren't terribly familiar with the comic book world, and they're wanting to learn more about it, and they want to maybe go to a convention and dress up, and they're like, but there aren't any girl characters. And it makes me so sad when I hear them say that, because there are just hundreds of female characters in Marvel and DC and everything, and in video games. And then when I tell them that, they're like, well, yeah, but they're all, like, half naked. I'm like, well, no, not all of them. Yes, a good chunk of them, but not all of them. And it's just, you know, there are some who are dressed strongly.
Yes.
And there are some who are dressed, you know, minimally. But it's just, it seems like the non-nerd people, they don't really know about the girls except for, like, Lois Lane and then, you know, Wonder Woman, because everyone knows Wonder Woman.
Well,
things like that.
She-Hulk is a perfect example, because if you do She-Hulk, you can do her in her She-Hulk costume or in her lawyer business suit.
Exactly.
So a lot of these people. Oh yes, I just started reading her comics. I got caught up on her comics that they just released, and it's a good
comic. I haven't read her comic books, but I always like to. When I get bored, I go and just like read character bios because it's cheaper than getting a series of comic books. She's a cool character. She's very interesting, and it's just, you know, there are these strong women characters, and not many people know about them. And nowadays, it looks like people out who didn't read comic books or had no interest in them growing up are going to actually have a chance to see them.
Yes.
In movie theaters and TV, where, you know, more people go. So.
That's cool, and that's the power of what the cosplay and the geek culture has done. I mean, they even taking characters that normally wouldn't get any shine, they've made them a big thing. Like Harley Quinn. Blink. Okay,
Blink.
There's three of them. I always say there are three examples of how cosplay has influenced the direction of comic books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Blink, who was a bit role character in a storyline that didn't even last for the full storyline. They brought her back for a comic called Exiles, but they never really gave her a big run. She has become, especially now that they put her in the movie, the last X-Men movie, and you see a lot of people cosplaying as her. Pixie.
I'm so excited. Oh, Pixie, yeah. Pixie's gone in some love.
Pixie has gotten amazing cosplay love, and her character is not really in, like, the forefront of any major comic. She's just a, she's a B player support team person who just has exploded. Harley Quinn, who started off as a character who wasn't even in the comics, they made it just for the cartoon, has become so popular that they gave her her own comic, and they made her like a, they made her a big part in the last big DC movie, the Suicide Squad, and they're doing a Suicide Squad movie, so you know she's going to be a big part in it. That, that character, if you watch the progression of Harley Quinn, you can relate it to how popular she's become in cosplay. Because before you didn't see that many, but now I've seen so many Harley Quinn cosplays, and I've seen all the variations. I've seen the people who do the, they do the blonde hair, or they do the black hair. They do the pigtails, or they don't do the pigtails. They do the blue and red, or they don't do the blue and red. There's so many variations of that people do. It's like, they made that, the comics need to realize that the cosplayers, the female cosplayers, made that character as popular as she is right now.
Right. And I think a lot of the industry, as far as comic books, even video games especially, they've taken note of the cosplay community and noticed that this is essentially free advertisement for their products. Because if you look, Borderlands recently put out, like, essentially, I think they straight up call them cosplay reference guides with 3D turnarounds. You got good images of, like, the weapons and the armor from all sides because they, you know, they make characters. They know cosplayers out there are going to want to do them. So they're like, here's reference material. Go do your things and then post pictures because it's a win-win. They get to see people loving their product, and at the same time, by posting pictures of your costume, you're promoting whatever video game, comic book, movie. So, I mean, the people behind all of that are smart. They're knowing that, you know, hey, free advertisement.
Well, I remember Borderlands even did, they did a cosplay contest where they had people cosplay as some of the characters from the upcoming series. And the reason why I remember is because I interviewed a couple that actually won, well, were one of the winners of the contest because they actually did a life-size model Claptrap to go with their costumes. And I'm like, that's just such a great idea. That if you, even if no one buys Borderlands, Borderlands now becomes talked about. Even for people who don't play video games, it becomes talked about because there's all this hype going on. In Borderlands, is a perfect example of how cosplay could take something and make it bigger than what it originally was. Because you look at like the second Borderlands game and all the cosplayers that have come out of that to the newest one, we see a lot of people cosplaying that. It's, I can't go to a convention and go 5 minutes without seeing a Mad Moxie, which is one of the most popular ones, or a Handsome Jack, or especially a Siren.
Oh my god, I love the Sirens. Yeah, I love it, and Borderlands is one of my favorite games. I haven't had a chance to play the pre-sequel because Destiny, but but, I mean, Borderlands is fantastic and just awesome, and they've taken note. One, I want to give a little nod to the Ruby anime, RWBY, by Rooster Teeth. Monty, who is kind of the creator of it, basically, he is a huge fan of the cosplay community. So as he made the characters, he posted 3D turnarounds on DeviantArt and on Facebook for the cosplayers to reference, and, I mean, it's awesome.
That's a great way to get your build in. And I wonder why people don't, why other companies don't do that more often, where you go, okay, these are characters, here are the reference guys, because that's just, like you said, free publicity. Just walking around.
I mean, they used, and I mean, that wasn't done hardly at all. You had, you know, the 2 or 3 concept art images that you might be able to find if you scrounge the internet or if you happen to buy, like, whatever collector edition of whatever thing.
Yeah.
But nowadays it seems to be more common. I noticed with Destiny, that was one of the first things I noticed, is when you get the app, you can do 3D turnarounds of your gear, of your whole character, of the weapons. And just it seems like a lot of other places are kind of taking point. You don't see it as much with comic book characters, I feel like, but at the same time,
it's more video game based when you see
But then with comic book characters, every character has like a dozen different costumes anyway, so I feel like when you're cosplaying a comic character, you have a little bit more creative freedom.
Yes.
So, which is one of my favorite things about cosplaying them, because you don't have like a video game where you have the set 3D model and this is what it's supposed to look like. With comic book characters, sometimes it's like, well, here's the front. Have at it.
Well, see, the reason why I like when people do comic cosplays is because a lot of people now, and I've noticed I've done the big variations now, where you have like a steampunk variation of this character, or like you did, the Ronin variation of Psylocke, which if people haven't read that comic...
Oh my god, please go read that if you haven't. The Ronin 5 issue by Marvel, it's literally 5 issues, and it's got Wolverine, Psylocke, Punisher, Deadpool, and Hulk, and it is amazeballs, and it's like the only thing I have digitally downloaded from Marvel, because I like to be able to just go back and read it, because it's amazing. Just do it. Perfect, just do it right now.
Perfect, perfect storyline, and it gives you a nice... It gives a fresh take on all the characters. Deadpool, they still left a little crazy.
Yes. I like the Hulk. I mean, it's one of those, like, you don't even have to be familiar with those characters. Like, someone who has no knowledge of any of the characters could read that and still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, they made it a great standalone. They made it a great, standalone series. And I always said I would love for them to revisit it. Mm-hmm. Like, to revisit it, maybe do it. It's like where everything left off.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was an amazing, it was a great little storyline. The cover art was amazing. The art inside was amazing. I mean, it was kind of one of those little hidden gems of Marvel, I feel like, that not many people know about. So that was one thing when I did Psylocke, because everyone does the leotard Psylocke.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to do something based off her Ronin, because... No one does that, and it doesn't get any love, and it was probably one of, like, my top 5 favorite story arcs. So, I mean, it was fun. Plus, it was also really comfortable. So, didn't have to worry about a leotard riding on my butt. I was just like, yeah, Komodo.
Speaking of good... No, I'm not going to say speaking of leotard riding on your butt, because that would be weird. But speaking of great, of good cosplays that you've done, I like your Taint Geek Harley Quinn.
Oh, that was, like, totally cosplay, or closet cosplay. It was just really fun. I had that dress, and I ordered those shoes, and it was funny because I first saw the shoes just completely randomly. It's the black ones, and I was like, those are some badass spiked heels. And then I saw they had red ones, too, and it was on one of those cheapo shoe sites, and they were, like, $20 a pair. I was like, Harley shoes! And then my very casual Think Geek Harley Quinn was born courtesy of cheap shoes and a tank top dress and some black eye makeup to be the mask.
It works and it's different.
It was very fun. It was fun and casual. I'm all about the fun and casuals because it's easier to walk around in when you're going to be at a convention all day.
Which I know that is like a big thing, especially when you have the more intricate costumes, just movement, and please never forbid if you have to do like a bathroom break and you're wearing like tons of
like all the armor.
Yes, that's
the body suit.
That doesn't seem like it's gonna be the most comfortable.
You know what's funny is the one costume that I've done that I just absolutely dreaded having to, you know, need to pee in the middle of a convention was Sailor Mulan. And to look at it, you would think, nah, that's easy because it's a skirt, so you just go. But I actually, I had on my white dance tights. I had on a white leotard because, you know, that's, didn't want to flash anyone in case something happened. And then I had on my shirt and my skirt, and then the OB wrap is actually a separate wrap that I made. So, I mean, it was a lot of layers, and it took forever to get that wrap just, like, laid nice and flat so I didn't have, like, weird poochy pregnant belly. And then to pin the bow just right on the butt so that it stayed nice and pretty because I did not use the correct stiff ribbon, which now I know for whenever I do Sailor Scout cosplays. But, I mean, that one, like, to look at it, you wouldn't think so, but, oh, my God, it was such a pain. Probably won't be worn ever again. It's kind of just hanging on my dress form nice and pretty right now.
No.
It's, so I just, you know, cosplayers, whenever, if you're thinking about doing a cosplay and you're someone who has a small bladder, don't do something like that.
I like that as a disclaimer. If you have a small bladder, these cosplays may not be for you.
Like, do you have a small bladder? Are you having, like, stomach flu problems? Don't do this.
Let me ask you this. What has been, speaking about that, not to say we're going to be getting on bladder issues now, but that rises, that brings up a good question. Now, what has been one of your most difficult cosplays to get in and out of?
The Sailor Mulan is probably the top one. And then after that, probably my Chell was, it wasn't really so much difficult to get in and out of, but I had a slight problem where the leg bracers that I had made for it, it was my first time working with Warbla, so I wasn't really familiar with what stuck to it well and what would essentially rip off given the slightest tension. And so I had it, I'm like pointing at my leg as if you can see this.
Hold on, let me get a mental picture. Right, all right, go ahead, I got it.
Like right here, I had like a little small elastic connecting the top pieces of it across the top of my thigh. And it held up fairly well. And then I did a little test run walking around at the house and stuff. And I was like, okay, this will be good. So then I wake up the next day, get ready, get in the car to drive to the con. And as I sit down and then I hit the gas on my car and just that flex of my leg popped the elastic. And I mean, I don't have like crazy Hulk legs. So I mean, it's not like I had some crazy like, bust through the elastic, so I didn't think that would happen. And at this point I was like, well, there's nothing I can really do about it, so I went to that con and I essentially kind of had to carefully roll my pant leg so that it kind of sat on that just right, and I sort of waddled like a penguin most places so that they didn't slide. It was not the greatest thing. And so apparently what you need to do, FYI, is hot glue like a D-ring and then like put a little Warbla over that to extra secure it and then run the elastic through that as opposed to hot gluing it directly to the Warbla. Just so you know. Does not work.
See, you guys are getting tips. What other show would give you tips?
Just like, oh, that was terrible. And then, so I mean, that made it difficult to maneuver in, and then it was kind of hard to get the leg pieces on and off after having to like carefully wrap my pants in / over them so that they stayed up. It was kind of a process, but it looked cool.
Speaking of cool, another segue. Mm-hmm. I, while looking over your page when I was doing my research of what the action and pictures to use for your interview, I came across this very nice picture. And I was wondering, when I ask this question, I preface it by saying, a lot of girls wear a lot of stuff where I just have to say, you have to have like amazing self-confidence to walk around a convention. Let alone just put it on for a photo shoot, but walk around the convention in this costume.
Mm-hmm.
Your costume is not, I don't say that with the pretense of, because it's revealing. I say it because it's the most simplest, non-revealing, yet revealing costume. If that makes any sense, like a known unknown, if it makes any sense. And that is your Black Canary.
Okay.
Cosplay. That's pretty much just like a black swimsuit, fishnets, and a leather jacket.
Yeah. Which, and that one, which is funny, actually. I'm laughing because I wasn't even for sure going to wear that. The thought process behind that was, in case something goes wrong with Chell, I need to have something to back up into. And thank God I did. Because those leg things were getting really annoying. So I decided, you know, Black Canary would be something simple to do. As I mentioned earlier, I danced, so I already had a black leotard. I already had black fishnets. I had that jacket from when I did Guster, which is an original character from my friend's Overground Comics company. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was stuff I already had. The wig was for Emma Frost. And, yeah, so it was kind of one of those, hey, I don't usually do revealing cosplays. This is about the most I'm ever going to do, so let's try it and see. And, I mean, like you said, it's not like the girls who do, like, the classic Emma Frost or, you know, any Mortal Kombat character ever. Yeah. So, I mean, it's nothing like that. But I will say, in the convention center, when I first walked out, especially since I changed in the public restroom, and this lady was like, what the hell are you doing? like, don't worry about it, it's cosplay. It's fine. And,
perfect excuse. It's cosplay, don't worry about it.
It's cosplay, it's all good. So I mean, walking around the convention center, at the beginning, it took me a little bit to get used to, because, I mean, as you've seen from my other ones, for the most part, I do things with pants or shorts.
Yes.
And, or at least a actual skirt. So I mean, it was kind of getting used to that, but then I started thinking, you know what? I used to do dance. We walked around in this stuff all the time. You know, it is what it is. And I was like, plus it's a convention, so who cares? You know, there's other people dressed like this. There's other people dressed skimpier than this. So, eh. It did feel weird going to the after party in that, though, because at the time they had the Dallas convention group people hadn't quite mastered the after party thing yet, because I think that was like the second time doing it. And so we went to this bar in the area, and we were under the impression that it was going to be pretty much just con people after a certain time.
And of course it wasn't.
Of course it wasn't. So I'm walking in, you know, from the parking lot, and this isn't a nice area, and this is also the area where I live. So I was like, God, I hope I don't see someone I know. And because I'm like walking in the parking lot, it's like, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I'm in, you know, black leotard and fishnets, a blonde wig, and I'm Asian, so obviously that's not my hair.
Uh-huh.
I was just, and people are walking out, and they're just giving me the weirdest looks. So I was like, they probably think I'm just like some weird hooker. I feel so uncomfortable. Like, I walk in the bar, and you can tell instantly when you walk in the bar, the people who are there that aren't there from the convention, and the people who are there that are. Because at the front, you have the people who are there just, you know, hanging out with friends, watch the game or whatever, and they're just, they have these looks of just complete and utter confusion and slight embarrassment. And I was like, oh God, where are my people? Where are my fellow nerd people? So that is the one time that it did feel a little meh. But I mean, at the convention, I felt okay. And then once I got to all my nerd friends in the back of the bar, I felt okay. I was like, yeah, y'all are dressed up too. I don't look so random. So my poor friend, she was there with Wonder Woman too, so she also was like, dude,
oh, man,
this was weird. So yeah, that was interesting. But it was fun. I probably won't do a costume like that again. But it's one of those things. I mean, some people are comfortable with it and embrace it, and I'm like, go you. I'm just not one of those people. I need me some pants.
Well, I'm glad I mentioned that, because now you've given me three perfect segues, and I'm trying to decide which one to go through. So I'm gonna go with the one that may be a little hot topic.
Okay.
Hot topic. Do you feel, since you're Asian, that sometimes you want to steer clear of the Asian-based characters, because it's not like, oh, another Asian come dressed up as an Asian person. Is this like, you know, get away from that whole thing?
I actually tend to naturally gravitate towards the Asian characters. I think that's because, you know, when you're making a character in a game, usually you make them like you want it to be you.
Yes.
And it's just, I feel like it's the same thing when I'm watching a show or a movie or whatever. I'm like, yay, Asian. I get all excited. So I tend to kind of naturally gravitate towards them. But also at the same time, if I see a character that's obviously not Asian, like Tracer from Overwatch, who is British. I think she's super cool, and I still plan to cosplay her at some point in time. So I don't really let race dictate who I do or don't cosplay, and I don't think anyone should. I think as long as you like the character and, you know, appreciate them to some extent, then do it. Who cares if it's not your race or even if it's not your gender? There's cross-playing, there's gender bending, you know.
With that being said, just make it easy. I don't even have to. I should just get a segue sound. Just whenever you say something, I go segue. The German cosplayer who came dressed up as Michonne from The Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that. That was, people were calling her racist, right?
Because she put on the brown makeup. So she can actually look like, and I've always said, I'll be honest, she was spot on.
Yeah, she did that's my opinion. You know what, she did an amazing job. That makeup was great. It was clearly not done to be hurtful. And to me, that's no different than when I put on blue contacts, contour my face to look a little less Asian, and put on a blonde wig to look white. You know? It's... I don't see the difference in that. There's just double standards. And I also saw a recent thing. It was kind of a similar situation. It was
The black girl doing Supergirl?
No, it was a white guy, and he was doing Spider-Man, but he was doing the
Miles Morales version.
Yeah, he was doing the Miles one. And people, like, when they saw him in the Spider-Man suit, were like, you look awesome. And then when he took off his mask and they realized, oh, you're not of a minority ethnic group. And he got some flack for it. And at first I saw a post he did, and he said the first comment he thought was being made in jest. And then people just started hammering him for cosplaying outside of his race and that it was disgraceful and rude and took away from, you know, the character. And I think that sort of thing is incredibly atrocious, and people are way too sensitive, and that if you like a character, like, you know, maybe he likes Miles more than Peter, so he wants to cosplay Miles. Let him freaking cosplay Miles. He's not hurting you by doing it. And, I mean, as long as they're not doing it in an obvious way to be intentionally hurtful towards whatever race or sex or sexual orientation, then who freaking cares if they're just doing it because they like the character?
Is this, like, one of those things where the word cosplay has gotten just too sensitive now? That almost every little thing now has to spark this?
It's this huge thing. It's like, oh my gosh, you did this one small thing, and it offends me, and so now I'm going to blow up on the internet about it. And it's stupid, you know? It's, at the core, cosplay is dressing up as a fictional character. Why are we getting all high and mighty about that? Let's be real. We're playing dress up.
And I would also tell people, we're the same people that were picked on and made fun of and shamed because we were doing something different. Now it's like, now that we've gotten quote-unquote popular, now we're now turning and doing the same thing to each other.
And it's like, we should know better. You know, you get... For the most part, these are the same people, like you said, that got teased in school for being different. And then now people are going around and saying, oh my god, how dare you do this? This is atrocious, and I'm going to bully you and belittle you and humiliate you on the internet. And it's like, dude, unnecessary. Chill the fuck out.
Speaking about unnecessary and insane, that's my segue sound effect for people who are wondering if you're coming in late. Karen Sakai, or as people will call her, the GoFundMe booby lady, who did I'm about to trademark that and get it put on a shirt. The GoFundMe booby. I wonder if she'd let me trademark that. We can just make wings off that.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, that's what I knew her as for the longest time. No offense to her, but I mean, that's actually where I first heard of her. It's like, there's this GoFundMe boob job girl, and I was like, oh, cool. I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I could be, she was honest about what she wanted to do. That's the first thing. She didn't lie. She wasn't kind to people. She was very honest.
Yeah.
Where, with situations like that, and then the two cosplayers who were different genders, cosplaying as someone, as another gender, where do we draw the line at where it goes, okay, you know, we're picking battles that aren't really battles.
And, like, that's kind of my thing. The internet has made it an just infectious ground for trolls, and they come in numbers. And my opinion with the Karen Sakai thing is, would I personally do a GoFundMe to do an elective surgery? No. Do I condemn her for doing that? No. I mean, it's not like she was going, you must donate or else I don't know. Like, I mean, she was just like, hey, I want this thing. I have followers. Would y'all like to help me get this thing? Such is life. I mean, do I agree with it? Not really. But am I going to, like, go on a witch hunt and hate her for it and, like, flame her page? No. Because I also kind of look at it in a similar way of, you know, you buy prints of cosplayers. That goes towards them. I mean, you're giving her money. You may not be getting a print, but, I mean, it's not that different. And then with the whole race thing, I mean, it's like I said earlier, dressing up as fictional characters. Who cares?
Yeah, we've gotten to a point where it's like, remember when we used to have fun doing this? It was just like,
exactly. It's hey, like, remember when we did this just like for shits and giggles, and it was like, oh my gosh, hey, you're that character, and it's cool. Now it's like, oh no no, that character's supposed to be blonde, or oh no no, you're not the appropriate race, or you're not the appropriate height, or size, or gender. I'm like, who cares? I mean, as long as you're doing it to have fun, and you're not out there trying to actively shame or hurt someone, then you're doing it right. And if you think that that's not right, then maybe you need to, like, go work out and get your endorphins up, because clearly you're just overly upset and need to divert that energy elsewhere. My opinion. And or play video games and blow shit up. That's what I do, too.
You get frustrated with what you see. You go, you pop in Destiny or any other of the lovely games with various amounts of weapons, like Borderlands, and you just shoot things until you calm down.
It's a wonderful form of stress management.
Yes.
I mean, it's just people are overly sensitive, and it's kind of, you know, especially with the internet, you've got this anonymity with it.
Very good. Word for the day.
And sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't want to stumble through this word. So, I mean, you've got this behind it because I will say at conventions, generally speaking, people will be nice to you. They will say, hey, that's awesome. And
then
this,
get
that,
online
yes.
And become
And then you get
bosses.
Online and they're just malicious little bastards with keyboards. So, I mean, you kind of got to take stuff on the internet with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And just roll with it. Now, if they're, like, posting things like, I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna kill you, yeah, then that's a problem. But, I mean, if they're just saying, like, oh, you shouldn't do that, you're fat, or oh, which I've seen that on some of my pictures, and I'm like, eh, who cares? These people like me.
For people, listen, I think you have a great shape, but for people who may not appreciate CDC shape, I'm just going to say something from one of the greatest poets of the modern era. And that is, you know, it's all about that bass.
Yeah.
About that bass. No trouble.
I'm all about that bass. About that bass. No trouble. I'm all about that bass. About that bass. No trouble. I'm all about that bass. About that bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear. But I can shake it, shake it, like I'm supposed to do. So I got that ball going out all the good shape.
All the right junk in all the right places.
I see the magazine working that Photoshop.
You know that it ain't real.
Come on now, make it stop. trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Hey, and I'm playing booty bass. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. Well, you know.